good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Tuesday, August the 2nd, 2016, 12:14 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and you are tuned into the Now program, and we are glad to have you with us. Now, we've got a lot of great programming of the week, but some of it I can't tell you about yet because it will come as a surprise. So you're just going to have to stay tuned. A lot of things to do with politics, but one thing I can tell you about, do you remember the first real person who really took a shot at running for president as a truly independent reform candidate? His name was John Anderson. He ran in 1980 on the Reform Party ticket. John Anderson will be with us on Thursday from 12:15 until 1 o'clock. So it'll be interesting to get his opinions on the election and what an independent party is, because everybody today recognizes independent and Reform Party with Gary Johnson, and before that, Ross Perot. But there was a guy back in the 1980s named John Anderson who was doing the same thing, and John will be along with us on Thursday, 12:15 until 1 o'clock. And also something else I can announce, tomorrow from 12:30 to 1 o'clock, we will be joined by the young lady who met with Hillary Clinton when she was here in Marion back in March, I believe it was, and went to the Democratic National Convention last week and spoke on Thursday night. She will be with us tomorrow, Wednesday, 12:30 to 1 o'clock, and a sprinkling of other surprises as the week goes on. But keeping in the political theme, we're joined today, of course, by Sean Kraft, co-host of this program, but two people we've had in here before, and it's always a fun conversation because when you do political discussion, you want to have somebody from the Republican, conservative, right side, and the Democratic, left, liberal side, so we can kind of meet in the middle somewhere and let you, the audience, make up your mind what you think on certain issues. We have Ted Coulter and Steve Chafin with us. Steve the Democrat, Ted the Republican. And before we get into it, I wanted to, I asked this before, but it's been a while since we've had you guys on. Ted, what is the core issue that makes you Republican?
Probably the core issue is the economic issue, because I feel that's the thing that could eventually, if our financial spending continues to go unchecked in any way, will bring an economic chaos to the country, and that will bring true suffering that everyone's trying to solve in their various platforms that we've heard at the convention. They're trying to elevate people in terms of their living standards and raising their lifestyle, et cetera, et cetera. But if we don't see a solution to our economic debt problem we have, eventually it could be a crash that will cause suffering that would be unmeasurable.
Steve, what makes you a Democrat?
Over 150 years of Democratic tradition and principle that, if you study it from Jefferson on to Johnson, Kennedy, Truman, even Clinton and Obama, that it's government by the people, for the people, and of the people. And I don't disagree with Ted. We're also concerned about economic issues, but you don't, and increasingly, Ted and I talked the other day, increasingly you see the younger people understanding that vulture capitalism isn't the way to achieve a quality of life. You want to look at where they've done rankings around the world, people quality of life, and the Scandinavian countries score so much better in quality of life issues than anywhere else, because they understand government is there to help us, to serve people, and to make things fair for everybody. So you rough off the edges of the vulture capitalists who just want to exploit, like guys like Donald Trump, just want to exploit people. We got to end the exploitation, have fairness. That's what we're
You
about.
Got it in there already.
I got it in there.
Guys like Donald Trump. Ted, what do you think of that answer?
What I'm constantly amazed is, I mean, we talked about the millennials, and maybe it's just their lack of vision in the past of history in that regard. We can look at Venezuela in all due respect, and they got a toilet paper shortage in all due respect. And they've tried the great socialistic experience in that fashion. So I don't know if Steve really wants to go that far, but the platform that we heard from Hillary, we heard some basic tenets. We heard universal health care. We heard a living wage. We heard talk about free college. We heard talk about the safety net, you know, of Medicare and Social Security being expanded in that regard, and income equality and all those basic socialistic tendencies. But the problem is, who's going to pay for it? The question is, when you ever try to do that, like it says, depend on government, that means government's going to have more control. And the question about younger generation will the long term appreciate that loss of freedom that's mandated when you have to take from one person to give to another to meet this economic equality.
Ted, loss of freedom when this happens?
Excuse me?
He said there would be a loss of freedom that you would give up. Would that be true?
One person's freedom is another person's slavery. So Ted has a bumper sticker, socialism is not freedom. In my mind, socialism is freedom because you're escaping from the oligarchy and the pressure that and the wage slavery. It's not fair to pay people $6 an hour or $7 an hour when they can't survive on these wages, when they have to have two or three jobs. And I'm speaking to the working class people of this county right now. Why is it fair for you to have to work two or three jobs just to get by? Why shouldn't you be paid a fair wage for your work? Your labor is just as significant as Ted and I's labor. We get paid 30, 60, higher than that an hour. Why is our job so much more significant? So I think the Democrats' principle is we want income equality as much as possible. We want to rough out the edges of vulture capitalism. And it is freedom when we all have – Roosevelt talked about this in his last farewell address, the four freedoms, the freedom from fear, want. There was a couple other. I can't remember them all. But it's as much freedom to be relieved of the pressures of economic slavery than it is from this oppression that Ted talks about, the government oppression. You know, the government is – Ted and I are part of government. I'm assistant prosecutor. Ted does public defender work.
No, I don't. Go ahead.
Used to.
Anyway. Used to.
Okay. But anyway, you know, we're all part of government some way. We all get involved with our local city council, or we speak about a zoning problem or whatever. So government is not this big oppressive anonymous force that Ted talks about. It's really everybody working together to solve problems. That's what government is.
Well, that's on the presumption that, you know, men are not corruptible and things don't work. And that's what I think was the problem we've got us in today, because we found it as it can be a corruptible system and there has to be all the checks and balances in that regard. But when you go to these things that Steve is talking about, you have to transfer power. You have to transfer your right to be independent, to make your own decisions, because you're conceding into the group in all that regard. And therefore, your choices are going to be limited. It's a situation that when you try to integrate in that regard governmental control to achieve these, you're saying to the people, okay, we are to make things fair, are going to give the power to the government to take from you the fruits of your labors, no matter how hard you work. And if you choose to work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, 16 hours a day, and there's going to be equality for those who choose not to work so hard. And I question that is where the true fairness. Should there be compassion? Yes. Should there be the helpful of the people that are down and out? Yes. But to say we're going to have a forced system, we're going to theoretically, we're all going to what, make $50,000 a year, all have a new car every 3 years? How are you going to achieve that? Where is the line going to be drawn? And the thing basically when you do in this type of system, you're going into an idea or a concept that's against human nature, meaning human interest is one of the biggest drivers of force. If we take out the human interest of, say, self-interest, I'm going to do this to help myself and my family, and an idea that's not going to make any difference what I do, whether I work hard or not, because it's all going to be the same, you do not have that achievement of goals and success that everyone eventually can derive a benefit from. So it's a slippery slope that will go down into reduction of freedom, loss of productivity, and we won't be the richest country in the world.
Do want to talk about some specific issues, and there is no greater story right now than what has happened in the last few days. And if people haven't caught it, I'm sure they probably have, but we're going to catch them up anyway. Because what happened the other day was kind of... has happened over the last few days is interesting there, and I think I just lost my story, but we're going to find it here momentarily. Okay, here it is. Yes. Donald Trump went on one of the Sunday morning shows with George Stephanopoulos, and he was talking, we'll start back at the Democratic Convention. There was a family, a Muslim family, who had lost their son in the Iraq War, and they took a shot at Donald Trump there, asked him, you know, read the Constitution, so on and so forth. What sacrifice have you made? Is basically what the question was. Donald Trump went on the Sunday show, and this was the quote he made to George Stephanopoulos. If you look at his wife, she was standing there. She had nothing to say. She probably, maybe, she wasn't allowed to have anything to say. You tell me. But plenty of people have written that. She was extremely quiet, and it looked like she had nothing to say. A lot of people have said that. Well, it got a little ugly. Trump decided to tweet some things. I'm just going to give you one tweet. It says, I was viciously attacked by Mr. Khan at the Democratic Convention. Am I not allowed to respond? Hillary voted for the Iraq War, not me. Coming off that, it made the Gold Star families. The Gold Star families are the families who've lost people to war. The Gold Star family said the term for those who have lost loved ones during military service is Gold Star family. Trump's comments, according to them, were repugnant and personally offensive. When you question a mother's pain by implying that her religion, not her grief, kept her from addressing an area of people, you are attacking us, the letter added. When you say your job building buildings is akin to our sacrifice, you are attacking our sacrifice. Now, interestingly enough, there were some Republicans who followed suit with the Gold Star mothers, one of those being Jeb Bush. Jeb Bush tweeted, "This is so incredibly disrespectful of a family that has endured the ultimate sacrifice to our country." Our governor was one of those people, John Kasich. "There's only one way to talk about Gold Star parents, with honor and respect. Captain Khan is a hero. Together we should pray for his family." And John McCain, maybe the most adamant about this, came out and said, "In recent days, Donald Trump discouraged a fallen soldier's parents. The statement reads in part, he has suggested that the likes of their son should not have been allowed in the United States, to say nothing of entering its service. I cannot emphasize enough how deeply I disagree with Mr. Trump's statements. I hope Americans understand that the remarks do not represent the views of our Republican Party, its officers, or candidates." Donald Trump has not apologized for this as of yet, and apparently, last night, he tweeted out, Speaker Paul Ryan is in a primary, and Trump sent a thank you out to one of his people in the primary who he's running against, saying thank you for backing me up. What's going on here, Ted, with the Republican Party as far as this story goes? So many have deviated from Donald Trump on this.
Well, I think the deeper issues is this is what's happening to the Trump campaign. It's almost in a free fall period right now in that respect, and you wonder why, you know, he's saying some of the things he's saying in that regard. Does it go back to his personality, which is one of Clinton's, you know, concerns in that regard, or is he trying to make points, but he makes points in a terrible way, which are offensive in that regard? So I think that goes back to some of the vision and the question of, you know, the sophistication of his campaign and the leadership he has in terms of his consultants in that fashion. He may be trying to make some points here, but he's not doing it in a very good fashion. Because if you look at this situation, when you really compare, they looked like they were dueling people. You had Pat Smith, one of the parents of one of the people lost in Benghazi, that was speaking, but she got about 70 seconds of airtime. But this thing has dragged on, this story, for 4 or 5 days, and I don't know how long it's going to go without simply just, you know, apologizing and restating himself, but keep on rolling and rolling in that regard. So I think it's a sign of his campaign needs to gather more carefully in their message. They're getting off point in all the respect, because Gold Star family should be respected, know what the background. I mean, people are looking at Mr. Khan. He's supposedly an immigration lawyer in that regard, does high-end immigrations with visas where you basically have to buy your way in the country. You buy U.S. corporations, allow you to get in, has ties to Saudi Arabia, has written about Sharia law in that regard. So you got a whole mix of things, of motivations in all the respect. The point is, you still have to respect the Gold Star families and handle it that way and bring those points out. Because what he really needs is to stick to the issues that he has. There's a lot, as they say in some of the media shows, hanging fruit with Mrs. Clinton that he can pick on, but he's getting sidetracked right now, and that's unfortunate to the issues.
Donald Trump is a narcissist, some even say a sociopath. He's told everybody the only thing he cares about is press. Bad press, good press, he doesn't care. We got such a great bump out of the most well-orchestrated convention we've seen, maybe ever, and he didn't like it. He needed to find a story. He took this story. He caused this story. He didn't have to say a thing about the Khan speech, but he did right away. So, you know, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. The only reason Trump's the nominee is because of the way he was treated by the press. They made him the nominee of the party. So now he's being eaten by the press. Too bad. You live by the sword, you die by the sword, Donald, and you're getting eaten right now.
But is it fair to say he was created by the press because so many of the other candidates would not make themselves accessible, including Hillary Clinton?
Donald knows how to play the press. He grew up in the media market in New York City. I mean, they got how many tabloids, how many radio talk shows, how many TV stations. He's a master of it. But I say, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. So now he doesn't appear on the talk shows as much anymore. You notice that? He's mainly going to Fox now. I bet he doesn't call into your shows, Guy.
Well, we hope. We can only hope. But, you know, but the thing is, if in the beginning, when he was calling into all the shows, CNN and everybody else, should they have said, no thanks?
I don't know.
Because the whole idea that the media created him.
The media just wants the ratings. You know, Scott, that's mainly what they're about. They don't really care about.
But they wouldn't have turned down Jeb Bush. They wouldn't have turned down Hillary Clinton had she called in.
Probably not, but they're smart enough to know not to get into that whole game with the press. You don't feed yourself up. You feed them a little bit as it goes along because they need to be cared and fed for. But you don't give them everyday stuff. It's just too much. Overindulged. That's what Donald's found out now, you know.
Ted, do you think one of the differences between the mother of the person killed in Benghazi and this story here with the Khan family is that, yes, they attacked Hillary at the Republican convention, which I was there for, but Hillary didn't attack her back. She didn't come back and say, you know, you're
right.
Nuts. Or
right. And that's what he should have done. I mean, Steve has a good point. Hillary has, what, had 275 days plus without a press conference in that regard, very craftily, you know, laying her message out. You know, Trump got in the primary stage of the media and by using media rather than spending all this money on ads in that regard, which now we're seeing hardly any ads with Trump, as Steve has pointed out earlier in that regard. But now he thinks he can just continue with his, I don't know, bombastic ways, maybe, as some may interpret in that regard on things, and that would be continue his media, you know, program to success. But I think he needs to change from that primary scorecard that he's trying to follow and get back to those issues, which are many for Hillary, but he seems to have drifted away from those.
But the danger there, then, he loses a lot of that base that he brought out in the primary. So some of those first time, you know, as I brought today, less than college, he loves the poorly educated is what he said. That's what he's been trying to appeal to. And if he goes and does the professional presidential route, will he lose those people? There's a chance he will. That's why he instinctively doesn't want to do that.
Go ahead.
Well, I think West goes into one thing, too. What is the focus of these campaigns at this time? Steve has a lot of experience with different campaigns and such, but right before it was a primary, getting the base, attracting those. But right now, you have those who are for Trump. You have those who are for Hillary, in all due respect. And those people that haven't made their decision, I say this respect to them, but are they the ones who simply say, well, I vote for the best candidate? They really don't have a clear political philosophy. If they have a clear political philosophy, they probably already made their choices. And so this group of people may have to be persuaded by a different message in that regard. And that's where Hillary's trying to craft that carefully with a lot of fluff. I felt the whole political convention of Democrats was an illusion, which I could go on about, and really not, you know, substance in that fashion, but a lot of politics is illusion. But there has to go back to those issues if you're going to persuade those that are out there to decide it's going to decide the election if it's going to be close.
Interestingly enough, one of the reasons I wanted Sean to be on particularly today is that when Donald Trump started to run for president, for the first, I'm going to say, he announced last June, and I'm going to say through March, April of this year, Donald Trump supporter, right here, through a lot of the stuff. But now, Hillary Clinton supporter, okay, what happened to you, who have been both ways on this?
Well, basically, all the lying and all the, not really lying, but all the stuff that he's been saying, I guess.
But why did you like him in the beginning? What was appealing about Donald Trump?
He had a way about him. I mean, he made people laugh, that's for sure. But I think I thought he was going to be a strong candidate. You know, he tells it like it is, and I thought he was going to get things done. But come to find out, he started off having no plan, so.
Was there a turning point?
Yeah, when he started taking digs at, you know, the lawyers and the judges and the all the other people, you know, especially women. Dig at women.
Ted, being the Republican here, people in Ohio like Governor Kasich. Governor Kasich won the last election by an overwhelming majority. Ohio is a swing state. Mm-hmm. Ohio is a state that both would like to win, Hillary and Donald. Hillary doesn't have to win Ohio. Donald does. The Republican governor would not attend the convention, the Republican convention in his own state. Donald Trump takes shots at him. And, just what do you make of the whole feud between the two?
Well, I think it goes back to, you know, establishment politics versus,
where Donald Trump started out and had some speaking of during the convention, which was in terms of there being a rigged system in that regard, in terms of the special interests and such. And again, he's kind of drifted away from that. And when we went to the Democratic convention, we saw a line of people who've benefited from, you know, the establishment in all due respect. But get back to your question specifically in terms of, you know, Kasich. You know, Kasich is kind of illusionist himself, you know, in terms of Trump being the more straightforward speaker in all due respect, which attracted people at the beginning. You know, when you look at Kasich, you got someone who comes across, you know, conservative, but then really look as a moderate. He raised the budget from $50 billion to $71 billion during time. We have incredible state debt, unfunded pension liabilities, comparable by some figures like Illinois, which could lead into a Puerto Rico situation in that regard. But you have two different drifts down there. But I guess the question is Mr. Kasich positioning himself again in 4 years, or is he true to his dislike for Hillary and what she may bring to this country in the 4 to 8 years she may be? And it's obviously he's looking right now, he's saying Hillary's more valuable. And that's a real, real slice of the pie of division in the state.
And where does the division, as a Republican in Ohio, how do you see that? Where do you go? Are more people, do you think, supporting Kasich and angry at Trump because of his attacks on him? Or, Trump went so far to say last week that he was going to spend between $2 and $4 million next time Kasich is up to defeat him, get him out of here. Mm-hmm. I've never seen anything like that.
If I could, the danger is, and this is the difference between the parties, is mm-hmm. the Democrats will rely on the grassroots activists and build campaigns from the bottom up. The Republicans always rely on more of a top-down structure. Ted, correct me if I'm wrong, but the infrastructure for the Republican Party in Ohio is going to be done through the local parties. It always has been done. Now, Kasich kind of controls that mechanism. So if they don't get on board, Donald Trump won't have any ground game. We're kicking his butt in the air. I don't see how he can possibly win Ohio.
Yeah, that's the problem. With Matt Borges, it appears that when he sends his emails out, he hardly ever mentions Trump's. You know, he may say, you know, generally speaking, you know, supporting the candidate, support Trump in that regard, and some AP press release he may have, but it isn't the push in that fashion because his loyalty still goes back to Kasich, which goes back to the way the things went down in Ohio in the primary.
That being said, I want to turn the focus here to Hillary for a second because she did an interview on Fox News on Sunday and seemed to reiterate that she doesn't think she did anything wrong with these emails and doesn't believe it. And she tried to say that Comey even said she didn't do anything wrong, which is not what he said. He said that she was extremely careless, and when he testified in front of Congress, he said that, yes, she was aware that these were classified documents. She said on Fox, this is all paraphrase, but people can look it up, she said on Fox that she still claims she did not know that they were classified documents. Why is she being, to that degree, still dishonest here?
Well, I want to speak to all the Hillary haters out there. You may think she's a liar, you may think she's a manipulator, but at least she's not a sociopath. So,
but is that a good campaign slogan? Well, at least she's not the sociopath.
I'm talking to the Hillary haters. That people like me, the diehard Hillary supporters, are going to gloss over that. That doesn't reflect on her substance of being a president. The president said last week she is the most qualified person ever to run. If you look at historically, Secretary of States have made some of the best presidents we've ever had, Jefferson, Madison, a few other people, because they've got that worldview that really helps you as a president. She's got her husband's experience to rely on. She's got the president now who's going to stay in Washington, be a close advisor. I mean, I just think her qualifications offset any kind of personality defects. Yes, she should have been more candid about the email. Ted and I have talked about this stuff. But, you know, you have to look at it from her perspective. She's been hounded by the press, her and her husband, for the last 30 years. They have accused her of everything from murder to, you know, assassination, whatever you want to call it. She had to be protective. Now, she was overly protective. She probably skirted the law a little bit, but she did nothing illegal. So let's focus on what really happened here, Scott.
Well, that being said, why Sunday did she not just say, after Comey has said what he said, why didn't she just say, yes?
She's risk-averse like every other politician. They don't want to tell the truth because, Scott, if I was running for office, you wouldn't want me to get on your show and tell you the truth about
things.
Yes,
I would.
No, you wouldn't.
Yeah, I would want you to tell me the truth.
Because the thing is, you wouldn't get any votes. That's the problem.
I'm not running for office. But if you were, I want you to tell me the truth.
You're the public. See, you're the voice of the people, and if you get on and tell the truth, people don't like to hear the truth. They want to have it sugarcoated. They want pandering. That's what they want. Unfortunately, now that's what was the appeal with Donald Trump. He wasn't giving them any pandering. He was giving them the truth. But now you see what happens. You give them too much of the truth, they turn on you.
Ted?
Well, this is I think, the core issue here, is that you can be qualified as much as you want to in any job or position, but character still does matter. Because if you don't have the character fulfill in your word and doing things, they won't be accomplished. There's an old Greek saying that says, character is all, character is destiny in that regard. And for some reason, that issue has been side-skirted completely with Hillary, other than like the many things we do have, like Steve has even referred to. We have someone who, after $145 million contribution to the Clinton Foundation, voted for 50% of U.S. uranium production to be sold to the government of Russia, as reported by New York Times, 2015. You have, like he said, Whitewater in that regard. Vince Foster ends up murdered, or dead, suicide, different allegations in a Washington, D.C. park. You had her when she was fired as an attorney at the Watergate Judicial Committee, a staff attorney she was, because her Supervisor Zeifman calls her a liar in that regard. She gets in 2008 campaign, she got contributions from the Iranian government through a foundation called the Alvia Foundation. You know, she's passed only one bill, I think, while she was in the U.S. Senate, as one of the name of a federal courthouse called the Thurgood Marshall. So, I mean, we can talk all this stuff, but you have to give them truth, because that's the thing. We're kicking everything down the road, not dealing with our issues in this fantasy land as sugarcoating, but otherwise this is all going to catch up with us. So character does matter, and Donald, even with his imperfections that he has in all due respect, he will be able at least hopefully follow that line and end the rig system, which Bernie Sanders has talked about, as we saw all those benefactors at the Democratic Convention that were of the rig system, and we can have still may pull this out.
Donald's even gone as far as to say this election's going to be rigged. I sit on the Board of Elections in Marion County. I can guarantee you there's total transparency in what we do. There's no rigging going on whatsoever. So come on, Donald, let's see the evidence. Where's the evidence of election rigging here?
Well, here's what I don't understand, because obviously both of these candidates, as most everybody says, this is where I sit every day and listen to the calls and the guests we have on, both of these candidates have flaws. And maybe if the people in the party were choosing the best candidate, they would not have chosen these two. But still, at that point, you know, you have the diehard Democrats who are strictly Hillary. She can do no wrong. The diehard Republicans who are strictly Trump. He can really do no wrong. What happened to those people in the middle who would say, you know, I'm a Republican, but Trump making fun of a Gold Star mother doesn't float with me? Where are the people who said, I am a Democrat, but you know, Hillary Clinton did go on and not tell the truth on the Fox Sunday
Scott,
show?
This is, like I said, the most polarizing election we've had. And the country's increasingly polarized. It'd be great. Ted and I get on your show. We get along fine. We're of opposite ends on the spectrum. But it's rare. I can't get any local Republican to come on with me.
Okay, well, this is good, though. Say something nice about Donald Trump.
He's been successful in business. He seems to have... He's a good salesman. I mean, look, he's done his pitch. That's a good quality for a president, be able to pitch your program. I wish President Obama was a little better at selling things. So, I mean, those are good qualities. He has a useful role in our country, obviously. We need entrepreneurs. We need people to inspire people to get out there and take risk. But I don't think he's qualified to be in government. He's never held a position in government. It's a lot different, and Ted can tell you a little bit about this, to be in government, to make hard choices with limited resources. I don't think he's understands that. He just files bankruptcy and moves on. So some nice things, but basically negative.
Ted, do you have anything nice to say about Hillary Clinton?
Well, she has a lot of experience, but no accomplishments. But she has experience in that fashion, I can say that. She'd been around the block many years and been part of the D.C. crowd.
One of the things that I thought was shocking was Hillary Clinton, like her or not, became the first woman of the two major parties to be elected, nominated to run for president. Now, people don't even want to give her that. To me, that's not – why is that a partisan issue? I mean, you might not like her. You might not want to vote for her. You might not want to give her any due. But you got to say, in the history books, that's how it's going to read. Is there anything to that, Ted?
Well, I think it's historical, but again, are we going to away from merit? And I think that's what we have to do. We have to look at the quality and the merit of the candidate to make our selection on. So it's historic, no doubt, but that should not guide just because we want a historic accomplishment of who we're going to vote for this fall.
I think it shows the progress we're making as a country. You know, ending slavery was a big historical period. Giving women the right to vote was historical. Ending, you know, the struggle with civil rights, giving people equal rights. Now we've establish equal rights for the gay community. So, you know, these are milestones, as people say, to continue to make a more perfect union. This is a great accomplishment to have a woman nominated. Now let's do one more. Let's break the glass ceiling for good and elect her as president. That would send a powerful message to everybody else around the world that we truly do try to live up to our values that we've stated in our Constitution and our Declaration of Independence.
But should it be sold on that idea, that elect her president because she's a woman?
If she's qualified. And that's the same with any position, that a woman or a man, who's the most qualified? She's clearly the most qualified. How can anybody say Donald Trump is qualified to run the biggest, largest organization on the planet, the United States government? You know how vast it is? Ted will tell you all day about how the government has its tentacles in all our lives, blah, 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 blah. It is a huge organization, and we've allowed it to happen. And I agree, sometimes there's too much government involvement in certain things. But all in all, we've agreed to this. Remember, this is consent of the governed. And anytime we don't want it, we can throw this stuff overboard. We've consented to this. We've allowed this to happen. And yes, it is huge. And maybe there's some things that can be done. But we have to have dialogue. Right now, we got no dialogue. I mean, you remember when President Obama was sworn in? The first thing they said was, our goal is to get rid of him. Now, is that going to be their goal day one of Hillary's inauguration day? I hope not. I hope Jim Jordan gets on here and tells you he's not going to stand for that. He's going to try to work with the Democrats in Congress. If we get control of the Senate, then he's going to have to work with the Democrats in Congress. And if it's Hillary's president, he's going to have to work with Hillary. And they don't start investigating her on day one about Benghazi. They've done so many investigations on Benghazi, we're all sick of it. So let's get Jim Jordan on here. Let's have him talk about how he's going to work with the Democratic administration. Let's get some things done. If it means shrinking government, okay. That's we arrive at a consensus on that, great. But we have to end this polarization. It's just going to destroy our country.
Ted, we talked a little bit about Governor Kasich, but John McCain, both the Bushes, former President Bushes, 41 and 43, John McCain, now on this boat, they're not supporting Trump. Why? Even for party's sake, why not?
Well, I guess you could break it down into different areas. They disagree with his policy, disagree with the type of president he would be, or he's challenging the power structures in that regard in Washington, D.C., which is a peddling influence system, you know, of self-interest and special interest, outrageous contributions of how they continue in power, and then, of course, that's where they help out their friends and buddies and cohorts and that thing. So you could look at it from an idealistic standpoint. They're following principles, and he doesn't follow the principles they sure and sincerely believe in, or they're looking at he's a challenge to the power structure.
But how's Donald Trump going to change that, Ted? What can he do as one person? He got up to the convention and said, I know all these problems. I know the system, and I can fix it alone. That's demagoguery. That's megalomania. There's no one person that can make those kind of changes in government. It takes a consensus to move things forward. You talking about campaign finance reform? What are you talking about?
Well, it could be in that area, but I think it goes back to the character issue in terms of leadership, whether those things are going to be tolerated when decisions are made. Are they made because of phone call from a certain congressman or a certain interest to the White House in that regard? We need to get this thing through.
You know what gets me? I don't know how he knows more about ISIS than anybody.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. I mean, that's a complicated issue, isn't it?
Is it hard, Ted, as a Democrat or a Republican, to follow Donald Trump?
Yes.
Okay. Why is that? What has he done to the Republican Party? How was he able to walk into a primary, defeat 16 qualified people by most people's account?
He like Ted Cruz.
And drive this, and be so popular. And I was there as Ted Cruz gets booed off the stage at the Republican convention, and his wife has to be escorted out by security from the Republican convention. And Donald Trump goes out a week later and says, I'm going to spend $2 to $4 million to get Ted Cruz taken out of office. Who are the Republicans?
Well, I guess you could one way say the Republicans are in massive change, as the Democratic Party is changing, you know, farther to the left in that fashion. But again, that goes back to that there isn't going to be an agreement of all the people that are Republicans in that regard on the thing.
How can Donald Trump get elected if that's true?
It goes back to what Steve and I talked about, what it really is Donald Trump's base set left out there. Are we going to have a big Brexit effect here, like they did in England when they left the European Union, in all due respect, whether you call it, as some reporters have called it, in terms of a nationalist candidate, in all respect, America first? Is that root so deep that it's going to be able to pull it off?
Or is it going to be a situation where that it isn't that deep, and as Hillary's very sophisticated in her campaign is going to be able to get those voters who more worry about what he did say or didn't say maybe on lighter issues, and they're just offended by his style, therefore they'll vote for her.
There's economic anxiety. The economy is not doing as well as everyone would like it to do, but no one person is responsible for the destruction of the economy or the resurrection. So you look at the steady progress we've made over the past 8 years. We were in the ditch when we got left with the former administration. Taking it out of the ditch now, we're back on the road, we're climbing the mountain. So we need steady, slow progress from an experienced leader who will keep us on track for the future. Hillary Clinton.
Well, how? But Hillary, like I said, people who don't like Hillary don't like her. And they will cite Benghazi, as the mother did at the Republican National Convention. They will cite the email issue, which, Comey from the FBI said that she lied, basically.
Well, what gets me is what makes Donald Trump give him a right to have Russia check her emails?
Well, but I don't know that he did. We can't say that. He said he was joking. We can't say that he did.
He did announce it on national TV.
You know what was interesting this morning? I heard that in the Republican Party platform, the Trump people asked for one change. It had to do with responding to the Ukraine situation. Now, why did they do that? Didn't that Manafort have some connection with the Ukrainians? I think he did. If you check the facts out. Now, it's a distraction. Ted and I talk about this a lot. We don't need to be distracted by these small little issues. Let's focus on the main issues. What's best for America? What do we want as a country? We want slow progress. You're not going to get a magic wand. Everybody's going to live in, a five-bedroom house with a swimming pool. It's not going to happen tomorrow. But slow progress. We want jobs. We want opportunity. We want equal opportunity. And we want security, absolutely. Nobody can say that Hillary's going to be a shrinking violet. She'll be sitting there at the table, and she's not afraid to push the button. So the national security issue is not going to play. The economics not going to play. She wins across the lines, across the demographic groups. I just don't see how Trump can win it.
If she does, then why is she having such a hard time winning? You know, I have heard...
I don't think she is.
Well, the convention gave her a bump, but last week, Donald Trump was ahead in the national polls. Yeah. So the interest, and there have been points where she's been down. That's the thing. If Donald Trump is as bad as everybody says he is, then why can she not take a tremendous lead? Somebody said to me about 3 months ago, they said, if Joe Biden was running, he would have 80% of the vote, just because of how polarizing Donald Trump can be. But she doesn't. She's up 9 points.
She's not as warm and fuzzy as her husband. She's not even as warm and fuzzy as President Obama. She's a policy wonk. She'll tell you that. She'd really sit down and spend hours. Did you go to that thing in Marion when she was here?
Yeah.
Did you go in the room with the people?
No.
Okay, I wasn't in the room either. From what I heard, she really listened to the people's stories and wanted to see how that would affect policy. That's what she does.
But how does somebody who's so unpopular get reelected in 4 years if she gets reelected when the candidate isn't polarizing, like Donald Trump?
I'm not going to guarantee she's going to be reelected. I mean, that's a totally different dynamics in 4 years, but let's take one election.
Is she the candidate you wanted?
I'm pretty far left, Scott, so I probably would have rather seen Bernie, but that's okay. I mean, Bernie's on board with Hillary now all the way, I'm on board.
I don't know if I would say he's on board all the way. He didn't look very happy at the convention when she mentioned his name.
Well, I just tell you the mechanics of all that is as long as Bernie's cooperating, helping to raise money, turning over his information to the Clinton campaign, which he's doing, that's all that matters.
But how do you feel about what happened right before the Democratic convention when the chair had to resign?
I didn't like Debbie Wasserman Schultz from the beginning. I was a Howard Dean man, so.
But that being said, that they plotted against Bernie.
Okay, they did. She's guilty. She resigned. Now they've cleaned house, and they got a very effective, dynamically, Donna Brazile is well-respected in the party. She'll do a great job.
But when a Republican does something like that, we don't dust it under the rug like that. We just don't say, well, it happened, and let's move on. We harp
it's
on it.
It's a polarized electorate, Scott. Very polarized.
Ted, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to go back a few steps. So you're asking a very good question. Why is Trump still hanging in there? And again, we bring up, as Steve wants to educate, but let's look at the more carefully what she was saying at the convention. She says, well, okay, we're going to share corporate profits. We're going to follow the money and we're going to take it. And she says, we're going to raise their taxes. We already have the highest corporate tax rate in the world in that regard. But she says, we're going to bring in the first 100 days, we're going to bring in all this stimulus to have all these new... Well, what's think of it? how are we going to create all these new jobs, and we're going to tax the people we're expecting to create the jobs in that regard? How are we going to have small businesses going to create more when we're going to have a $15 minimum wage, no matter how good that sounds in all due respect? How are we going to create more jobs in a better society when the Obamacare has already had so many issues with it in that regard? Cancellation, like my own cancellation of my policy 3 months ago, because UnitedHealthcare can't afford, you know, to provide services anymore. So I think that's the inconsistency. When you look at what she's saying, does not make feasible sense that would ever work. There's no way to pay for it, which will begin to bring back that financial calamity in regard. She has spent more money than Obama has in the last 8 years, as from George Washington to George Bush, and created the debt up to $19 trillion from $9 trillion.
Here's what I often worry about, and when I said point out something good about Hillary Clinton, you said, well, she does know what she's doing. She's been around a long time. Okay, but that being said, November 9th comes around in 98 days now. 98 days, we will have elected a new president. I wonder if the people who vote for Trump, if he wins, the next day go, oh, now what? You know, because we don't know what this guy's going to do. Because his own party, I mean, he doesn't seem to like the Speaker of the House. He doesn't seem, Mitch McConnell condemned him yesterday over these remarks. He doesn't get along with him. Doesn't get along with any of the hierarchy of that party. I mean, I think people know that if Hillary gets in, just like you said, that's what it's going to be. It's going to be a continuation of President Obama's presidency. What's a Donald Trump presidency going to be?
Well, that's the...
He doesn't know.
Well, I think if you look at some of his speeches in that regard on the thing, is he not going to allow some of the chicanery that's going on that stops the polarization? You know, Steve talks about, you know, we're not even having a dialogue. But one of the reasons I feel there's no dialogue or cooperation in Congress in that regard with Obama is 2 points. Again, the influence of money, which stops reasonable... efforts to make solutions to our problems. And the second thing, there clearly are different ideological ways this country is going. And so if you're a conservative versus a socialist versus a progressive versus a communist in that regard, where is the line going to be drawn? And when you're going so far to the left, as we heard in some of the comments of Hillary Clinton, there's going to be a stopping of any work in Congress because you're crossing those idealized lines which will send the country in a certain way, which a high percentage of people are saying they don't like the direction. And the direction has been what we have right now, the most people on food stamps, the most people on the poverty level, the most people out of the labor force in all respect from the last year. So that's where we're going to continue. That's where we're going to headed on policies which are not, are going to bleed the American job makers.
He didn't answer the question. He didn't answer the question.
What a Donald Trump presidency is going to be like? Uh-huh. Do we know?
Well, I think it is hopefully with that business experience. I know there's all kinds of counters to that in all due respect, that he'll follow that way. It's going to be true job making in America in all due respect. He'll do a more conservative agenda with his judicial choices than that Hillary will ever do. And then we'll see an America that prospers versus illusion.
Will he start getting along with people? Will this whole thing about name calling just...
No.
Well, that's asking me whether I know Donald Trump personally. I don't, in regard, but certainly is hoped. Let's put it that way.
Okay, go ahead, John.
You know, I'm tired of hearing him saying, I want to make America great. Isn't America great already?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think it is.
Yeah. What's so bad about America? We got our problems. Who doesn't? But all in all, we're doing pretty well. I mean, come on, Scott. You got a radio show.
I do. I had one under President Bush, though, too, so
well,
I don't know.
Okay, now look at America. Just
I was
look
here
at
then, too.
Yeah, we've got a drug problem, but actually our economy is doing pretty well. There's plenty of jobs out there, right? Our infrastructure is pretty good.
I don't think Donald Trump's going to cancel my show, is he? Was that the implication?
No, but we've got good infrastructure. We're keeping our streets and our roads and our bridges pretty well maintained. Our schools are decent. We could do better. But, I mean, everything is going pretty well. It's slow and steady progress. You don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. We got a few problems, so you're going to put this crazy man in that might push the button the first day against the Russians or something. Who knows what he's going to do? Hillary's been there. She's been in the Situation Room when crises have hit. She understands how to deal with
keep
that.
Button
do you really feel
now?
He's going to push the button? I mean, I keep hearing this. Sociopath, push the button. I mean, he's been in business for a long time. I don't know that he ever went out and knocked over a building.
He's never been in power like this. You know how much power the president has? Tremendous amount of power. Power can corrupt.
But won't Pence be there with him or something? Doesn't he have to have a Secretary of
really
State? Chris Christie will be in there. I think he'll be something.
Well, he's just as bad as him.
No, I don't know that he is. This is okay, with 98 days left, nobody's got this sewed up. How does she win?
Well, right here. Most educated voters favor Clinton over Trump. She's up, I think, 17 points over that. Romney beat Obama in 2012 by 14 points. If you don't slice the demographic, if you don't know where to target the message, like Ted's talked about, you can't win. It's just a strategic game. It's a chess game. You got to pick. They said three counties in the country are going to pick the next president. One of them is probably in Ohio. They talked about maybe Franklin County. I mean, if you know how to win, you look at the last war that was fought in 2012, and you look at the lessons from that, and you gear your campaign towards a victory this year, which he's doing very well. You have Trump, who's a bunch of inexperienced, underfunded people running his campaign, and you got a candidate who is not disciplined versus a well-funded, well-orchestrated, experienced group of people running her campaign with a seasoned candidate who's ran for president before.
Ted, how does Donald Trump win? It's not over by any stretch of the imagination.
The way he wins is being more disciplined, focusing on her lack of trustworthiness, her corruption, and the examples of corruption she's demonstrated over the years of her career with Mr. Clinton, her husband, in all due respect, and realizing that there is a vision to correct the problems and give the specifics of how she's going to correct those problems.
Ted, if he goes out there... yesterday, I'm only bringing this up because what happened in Columbus, Ohio. Yesterday, he called her the devil in his press conference. How's those debates going to go? I think this might be a problem for him because he seems to have a temper. Do you worry about that?
He says he's not going to show up. So.
Can he hold it together during the debates? Because do you remember when Lazio walked over to the podium with mm-hmm, Hillary? Mm-hmm. And people don't like going at a woman like that when a man does that. Can Donald, because I think if he does hold his, doesn't call her the devil or anything like that, he will... He might prosper in these debates.
Oh, definitely. And that's his weakness. And there's no question that he's... But the critics, all the pundits right now are on the talk shows since the conventions are indicating that he's self-employed because of his lack of discipline in that regard. And that's what he has to do.
But why does he give the media headlines like that? Why does he call her the devil?
Well, see, that's why I think before he was getting all that free press because he was in the primary, he was getting away with his competition in that regard. But right now, he's got to change his mode. He's not changed his mode for the general.
He can't help it. It's just part of his personality.
Even in the Democratic Party, Steve, her trust levels do not change. More people trust Donald Trump. Not by much. 40%.
I think it's even right now.
35, I think 34 is the last poll I saw. But this woman, who you say so experienced, has done the job before, former First Lady, Secretary of State, they make good presidents. She cannot get above 34% of the people in this country trusting her.
Scott, everybody makes mistakes. If you're in the public
Donald
life,
Trump? Does Donald Trump make
yes.
mistakes?
Well, is obviously,
he,
every
forgive,
day.
But do we forgive?
I didn't say we'd forgive. I'm just saying no one's perfect. And you got to weigh, like you said, we don't get to really choose the best people for president. We choose the people that stick their neck out, have the resources, and can persuade enough people to back them. She's done that. She's earned her place in history. So, no, she's not perfect. And you want to trust your president, obviously, but... You're not going to win everybody over.
I want to see Donald Trump's tax return.
Ted, what if those... Well, okay. Ted, yeah. What if those emails show up? We got 98 days. What if Hillary Clinton's emails show up and there was something in there that she's not telling us about?
Well, that's what they said. There's more to come out in that regard from weeks in that regard on the thing. So that's going to be the interesting part. And they already called him... the DNC was calling the... Latinos taco bowls. I think that was some of the comments. So the question is more of that's going to come out, and things. And I think it's going to, could be very, devastating. But I think American people have to look at this in terms of looking at a marriage partner, a life-term partner in that regard. What's probably one of the most important things you want to look for in terms of a spouse or a partner? It's trust. They may not be the perfect wager. They may not be the perfect jokester in that regard or the perfect parent. But if you can trust them, you can take and make progress. And this is the problem here with Hillary. She cannot be trusted. She's demonstrated that lack of trust and credibility. And that's why we can't run that risk with her.
John, you want to get something left here in the last few minutes?
They both have baggage. Let's say it. But you know what? Just like Steve said. Hillary has the best, the best qualification.
Coming from the guy who supported Trump for 9 months on this program.
That's so. Why we're going to win.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know, it can swing back the other way.
It could, but I'm saying you ask us today, all we can do is tell you what's happening today. I can't predict what's going to happen.
Right, but we got 90 days left.
Well, look at the experience. Who's got the best qualifications?
But what is her accomplishment? What is her accomplishment, Steve? I mean, I tried to hear Bill get up there and say accomplishment. He said, well, she created a legal aid society in northern Arkansas. She went to the Mideast when there was a crisis going on. But I couldn't hear any accomplishments in every area. Experience means nothing. You get somebody to be the best janitor for 30 years in that regard, but does that make him the best head janitor if he's never really accomplished things? And that's the thing. She may have experience, but no accomplishment, and never proves you
a better president. Donald's built some buildings and made some business deals. I don't think that makes him a great president. I tell you what Hillary's accomplished.
But he reached goals. He had goals and reached goals and got there.
As United States Senator, that's a big accomplishment to be elected as United States Senator. She ran successfully as a presidential candidate in 2008, almost won, became Secretary of State, and successfully held that job. And held, in fact, when she left that job, she had some of the highest ratings of any political leader
in the
country.
What'd she do that was good for the people? Nothing.
She represented us very well throughout the world.
Gary Johnson might be elected.
One of the most violent worlds we've had, despite what Obama says.
I'm sorry, but Donald Trump, I mean, he came and hold his own college. I mean, look at the college. What is it called?
Trump University.
Yeah, look at that. He's being sued for that.
Yeah.
And then
people have questions about the Clinton Foundation too. You have to be on. You have to be fair in this. People have questions about the Clinton Foundation too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of questions flying around here about both of them.
That's what they both have baggage.
We only got two candidates. Yeah. You got to make a decision, or you stay out of it. I urge people to vote.
Yep.
Get educated. You know, that's what we're doing here today, trying to educate people. But at least vote. Linda said something about voting. I encourage people to vote and vote early. You can start in early October. You can start voting by mail or walk into the board. So.
And we got to do this more often, especially in the next 90 days, because you never know what's coming any day. And it's always fun to talk about. Ted Calder, Steve Chapin, Sean Kraft. We're going to take a 10-minute break, come back with much more here on the program. Stay tuned to WWGH Radio. The Phyllis Schlafly commentary coming up in about a minute.
Family leader and author of 25 books, including the best-selling A Choice, Not an Echo. And now, here's Mrs.